Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm your host, John Ledyard, along with my boy, Trevor Sikkema from PewterReport.com, covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Trev, I am on dad duty this week. My wife is away on a business trip to Utah, and it's just me and the 10-month-old daughter for the next 4 days or so. She comes back late Saturday night.
Holding it down, huh?
Yeah, so prayers out for myself and my child that, we survive this time.
Yeah, survive is the word. Survive is a good word. So,
To be honest, I've done most everything with her before, so this isn't, totally new territory. Her being gone this long away from our daughter's new territory, so prayers up for that.
Like,
but so far,
you can't simulate game speed, though. You know,
you can't. That is the most true thing about life I've ever heard. Today's episode of Locked On NFL Draft brought to you by XBet. XBet.ag, the newest and most exciting betting platform on the planet. Use the promo code XBet to claim your bonus on there. If you're betting this weekend, make sure you check those guys out. Trev, we got a lot to talk about in the college football realm. We haven't really delved into defensive players a ton. I think there's just so much to talk about with offensive players, and there's so many eye-catching numbers, and players always emerge, and the buzz always seems to be around offensive players in season. But we wanted to do due diligence to some defensive players that we haven't gotten to touch on too much since the season started, both guys that have shown out in a positive way and guys that have shown out in a negative way. And There's some new names we want to bring to light that we didn't really talk about over the summer, but I'm going to start with the edge rusher position because there's so much to talk about with this group right now. It's a group that no one knew really how to feel going into the season. I felt like there was hope and promise maybe with Arden Key, but was he really ready? And then he left the game and he came back and he added all this weight, and what was he going to look like? And there was talk with Bradley Chubb, and there was talk with Tyquan Lewis, and there's been so many names thrown out there. Who's caught your eye so far as we are 5 weeks into this college football season?
Well, I gotta say, man, I'll just use Harold Landry as my example, and I'll say it for this reason. When we went through our rankings, Harold Landry was in both of our rankings, but I think he was a little bit higher on yours than he was in mine. I saw a lot of production that he had last year, and I looked at some of his tape, and I was like, I just feel like a lot of these numbers are just manufactured in ways that aren't going to repeat in the NFL. Like, he's just, either like it's just bad offensive line work, or he's getting, a move here or two there that's just not going to be successful in the NFL. But, man, I've caught glimpses of him. I haven't sat down and watched, full Harold Landry games, but from what I have seen this year, he looks like he is rushing the passer at a different level. And it's funny that I say that because he doesn't have nearly as the production that he does this year, but I think defenses are keying on him more. But I see much more of a pass rusher that has bend around the corner and somebody that I could envision doing these things in the NFL on an NFL team. So I think he's kind of got to where I start for like a most impressive guy that I've had my questions of early on, but now I'm looking at him this year and I'm like, wow, this is an improved pass rush to me.
That's interesting because I see even going into the year, and I think you said I don't know where I was. I think he was my top edge, but I wasn't even first round high on him, like going into the year. I was like, late first round, early second, somewhere in that range. But my biggest thing with Landry was, I think he's a pretty good athlete. Like, not an elite, not like a Myles Garrett athlete, but like a good athlete. Like, you're not worried about his athleticism. But I don't see any power rush moves. I don't see any variety. I don't see any inside counters. He's really reliant on cornering as a rusher. And if he doesn't win the edge, he just kind of gets pushed up the arc. And it reminds me a little bit of Vic Beasley coming out,
Okay, but, see, maybe I'm just getting blown away by the flash on the edge, because I feel like I see that more from him this year that I didn't see from him last year. And I was like, oh boy, if he could do that stuff, now we're talking about an edge rusher. Because I don't know, like pass. I mean, now you know more D-line nuances than I do. Like, how teachable are different traits? And, well, not traits, but, for example, like, different pass rush moves, having different tendencies. Like, how teachable is that? Because, bending around an edge and having good, ankle flexion, all this kinds of stuff, and being able to really turn a corner, that's not teachable. We know that for sure. But, right. When I see that stuff from Harold Landry, these other things that you're talking about, he definitely needs more, I guess, weapons in his arsenal as a pass rush, sure. But how much of a concern is that for you? Are there guys that just sometimes don't get it, or is it, I don't know?
Yeah, there are guys that don't get it for sure. I think you have to decide whether they have a physical mindset or not. I think that's the biggest thing. I think Landry does have that.
I think that too.
Yeah, so I think that that's a good sign. I think he has the baseline skills that you're looking for. I think that a lot of it is who your teacher is in the NFL, how well you mix up your rushes. Some guys like Bud Dupree coming in, I mean, he literally didn't have a pass rush move as an entire arsenal. Like, he didn't know or do anything. So you had to start from scratch with him. I don't think Landry's quite there, but I don't see a whole lot of variety in the moves that he does make. And I wonder sometimes if he's just has a predetermined plan of attack and he's always going to try cornering. If he does, I'm okay with that, because like you said, the other stuff can be taught, but I need to see him test like an elite level athlete, probably, for me to be, because it's one thing to be able to corner when you're playing some of the schools that he'll face and call it some of the tackles, some of the right tackles, because he's typically working from that left DN spot that he'll face in college. When that happens, I think that's one thing at the college level, but at the end, you better show in your testing that your test numbers compare to other elite edge rushers that have made the transition from college to the NFL. Because if that's going to be your calling card, the other stuff's going to take time to develop. You have to have at least have your calling card to build on with that other stuff. So for me, Landry's testing is going to be key, because I think he's a good athlete for sure. Is he a great athlete? I think that's going to be the question, because there's times where I think he is, but it doesn't consistently show up. And I think that he is very bendy and flexible. I wonder how explosive he's off the ball. That's my biggest thing with him, I think. Does he have the first step to maximize that cornering ability that he has at the top of the arc, if that makes sense?
Sure. And maybe I've just seen the best of him. But,
I don't think he's been bad. I think you're right.
Yeah, I don't think that you think that either. I guess, we got to talk about Bradley Chubb next.
Oh,
at least,
my goodness.
Right?
Yes.
So, what are your thoughts? I'm obviously a statistical monster. I saw some of that Florida State game, and that's really the only game that I've got to watch a lot of him play. But
I disagree with the mindset out there that he's similar to Derek Barnett. I know a bunch of people have thrown that out there. They're both big, and they both wear number 9, and they both play defensive end. But to me, Chubb is more explosive than Barnett was, and Barnett was probably bendier, but Chubb is a more physical, versatile pass rusher than Barnett was. So I had Barnett early second round, and I like Barnett. To me, what I've seen of Chubb this year, and I've seen two of his games pretty much completely, he looks like a legit first rounder to me. I didn't think I'd say that going into the year. I didn't think his tape last year. I thought he was like a day two guy for sure last year. And watching him this year, I'm very impressed. I think his pass rush variety's improved. I think he's more explosive off the ball than he was before. He's also a dog like Derek Barnett. I will say that. So there's some things temperament wise that are similar, but skill set wise and how they get home, I don't think Chubb's super bendy, but I think he's bendy enough, and he's so good with his hands. He softens the edge. I think he's the for real deal, and he is a physical, violent football player. He is built well, 6'4", 265, 270, some sites say 275, not much bad weight. I think he could drop a couple pounds, though, and continue to get more explosive, maybe even. He's been one of the most impressive players in the country to me, not just because of the production. He has 11 tackles for loss and 5.5 sacks. And by the way, going into the season, we knew he was a monster run defender. There was no question there. It was the pass rush skill. Does he have the high end traits? And I think I don't think he's an elite athlete, but I think he's good enough. And I think he has all the rest of the tools in the arsenal. He'll hit inside counter moves on you. He'll use his hands really well. He'll go through you as a pass rusher. I talk about the pass rushers that have the three-way go, almost the guys that can go inside of you, that can go through you, and that can go outside of you. And Chubb, to me, has all three of those to enough of a degree where I can say, yeah, like, this is a guy right now that I'd be very interested in as a first-round guy. He might be the number one edge rusher for me in the country.
All right, there we go. Wow.
I love him. He's my type of football player, too. And I think the athleticism, I think he's more explosive this year than he was before. So, I don't know. I'm excited about him. How about the guys you like, the USC duo? You liked Porter Gustin coming into the year. I had not gotten a look at him. I since have gotten a look at him, and I have been very impressed with what I've seen. But the recent talk is he's not even the best edge rusher at USC. That would be Uchenna Nwosu, who has two sacks this season and 2.5 tackles for loss. Also made that nice play against, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, batted a ball up in the air, picked it off. He is 8 passes defensed as a defensive end this season. Like, he's getting his hands in passing lanes, very aware football player, 6'2", 240. I've been impressed with him and impressed with Porter Gustin. USC's got two good ones.
No, I agree. I thought Porter Gustin was pretty solid coming in, and he's a powerful pass rusher from a linebacker position. So I like him a lot too. Disappointed that we haven't seen Jair Alexander yet, man. I'm really I'm hoping we get him back this week because, you know, he was, I think, both of our CB1s. Was he your CB1 going into here?
Yeah, he's a freaking good player. I wish we would have seen him against Clemson.
I know. That was the big game that I kind of wanted to see him there. But I think he might be back this week, so we're going to get, you know, a little bit more than a half a season out of him, hopefully.
It hasn't been the loud season at the cornerback position yet. Like, I feel like we've heard nothing about Tarvarius McFadden, and when I've watched, he's been fine but not great. Who is it? Iman Marshall from USC has struggled. Adonis Alexander's had his ups and downs. Who are some of the other top names that are escaping me right now? But I feel like a lot of the corners have
had some... Minka? Do you count Minka or Everett? Yeah,
Minka I haven't even gotten to see, and Alabama's really not playing anyone, so I guess, you know, it's hard to maybe judge him. Maybe that's the biggest thing. I will say this. I watched one of Auburn's games very closely. I watched them against Missouri, and I know it's Missouri, but Carlton Davis is a really long, smooth athlete, the Auburn corner. He's a junior, 6'1", 203 pounds. I was really impressed with Carlton Davis. I thought he adjusted well. He made a play on a back shoulder throw. That's a tough play for a corner. I thought he had good awareness all over the field, in zone and in man. I liked what I saw from him. I'm really excited to look at him more because he's a little skinny, but he has the length, and he played with that edge that you want in a corner. I'd be pretty interested in him from Auburn right now. I don't think, with a lot of the other bigger corners not really showing out so far this season, he's a guy that's kind of sliding up the board for me.
What about the Ohio State guys? Either of them. You get a look at those guys, either Sam Hubbard or Tyquan Lewis, two pass rusher?
Yeah, I have. You know, to me...
Boy, say it with a heavier heart. Jeez, man.
I know. I really wanted Sam Hubbard, I think, to be, like, really good. And I think he's a good player. I think he can start in the NFL. I just don't know if he's ever going to be a high, like, you know, volume sack guy. Like, he hasn't really been in college. You know, six as a pass rush specialist in 2015, so he was on the field for almost all those pass rush downs. He had 6.5 sacks, and then since that, it's just been kind of downhill production-wise, 3.5 in 2016. He has 2 sacks this year. I saw one in the first game of the year. I think he had an inside move on somebody, kind of came in unblocked. The tackle just kind of overset badly, and he just ran inside of him. I think he's a really – it's amazing. He's played safety, and then he came to Ohio State. I think he was a linebacker, and they moved him to DN right before – I think he's a redshirt junior now, so at the end of his redshirt year, before his redshirt freshman year, and he was, you know, a really good, really impressive in that way. But what's been really amazing is his technique has just come so far since he's over the last 2 years, you know, just as a run. I mean, as a run defender, he's one of the best in the country. I just don't know that I see – it's weird because he was a safety, but I don't know that I see high-end, like, pass rush athleticism traits. I see a guy that can move for sure, but pass rush athleticism is a much different thing, and I haven't seen that well from him. And Tyquan Lewis, to me, going in, was a day three guy, and whenever I've caught Ohio State games, he still looked like a day three guy to me. That I didn't see anything that would change my mind there. What about your boy Arden Key? All this added weight, the offseason talk, he finally comes back.
No,
he's played,
man,
Three games now. What have you seen?
I haven't been able to watch a lot of LSU, but I mean, we haven't heard his name. You know, like
I know the buzz isn't good. Yeah,
you know his it, right. I mean, you talk to people that have watched a little bit more here and there, and he's just not the impact player that we thought that he would progress to be. I don't know if it's because of the weight or what. Right. I saw. So I will say that I caught a little bit of that Troy LSU game, and there's a linebacker who wears 48 for. I think he's a linebacker. Maybe he's a defensive end. He wears number 48 for LSU, and he's huge. Like, he's thick. And I thought that was RDT.
D-H-I-C or?
I thought, yeah. Okay. I thought that was 49 Arden Key, and I was like, holy crap, this is a totally different human. Like, he's huge. Like, oh, and then I'm like, oh, wait, never mind. It's the wrong number. I don't know, man. I will say this. Ask me this question about Arden Key a week from now, because I think I'm going to be able to see Arden Key in person this weekend. Florida plays LSU. I think I'm going to be in Gainesville for that game. So you can ask me all your Arden Key thoughts after that, because, yeah, this is a guy who was, you know, my number one pass rusher coming in, and that's because 2 years ago I saw him as a true freshman, and I just watched his get off and his explosiveness off the snap, and I was like, holy cow, if an 18-year-old is doing this, starting for an SEC team like LSU, man, the sky's the limit when this guy puts some more size and strength on his body. But I don't know if it has translated, or he's just off to a – I know he went through some stuff in the offseason where he was away from the team, and then, you know, he came back, and I don't know, maybe he's just getting back into it. I'm not really sure, but so yeah, but like you said, not great reports from him so far, so I don't know.
Yeah, the Georgia duo is another one that's interesting. I think that we're gonna have to, I looked at Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter before the year, and I thought, you know, Davin Bellamy, I'm not sure, it's gonna be a late draft pick if he's draftable. We'll see. But Lorenzo Carter's one that's caught my eye as the season's progressed, and both these guys have produced a little bit. Bellamy has, I believe, 2 sacks on the season, and Lorenzo Carter, I know he worked with Chuck Smith in the offseason. I know he's done some things to enhance his game. Already 3 sacks this season in 5 games. He had 5 all of last year over the course of 13 games. And I've heard much better things about him. He has the baseline athleticism and the size, and he plays very hard physical football. He just was so unrefined at the end of last year that I had to dub him a day 3 guy, you know, kind of a flyer guy. But there's some athleticism there that's intriguing. Is it pass rush athleticism? I think we'll see better signs of that if he's able to enhance his overall game, lower his pad level around the edge, work on some of the things he needs to work on to make his athleticism shine in a pass rush sense moving forward.
Well, hey, we talked about this during the show, you know, bringing the show on. xbet.ag, the new place that you got to be to put any money down on some of these games that you're watching. John and I do the whole, we give you the lines on Fridays. We tell you what we're thinking. We'll tell you, you know, where you need to put your money. But you got your opinions too, so you can throw it on wherever you want. It's like having Vegas in your pocket. Their mobile site is great. You can get, that's my big thing with gambling sites. Like, I don't want to get out my computer. I don't want to, you know, have to deal with stuff on a desktop, blah, blah, blah. Just put it on my phone. That's what XBet does. XBet.ag, they got a great mobile site. They make it easy. You can do live in-game betting. So, like, as the game is going on, you see the tendencies. You can throw some money down on that. It's almost like cheating, honestly. hey, man, they let you profit off it. XBet.ag, they let you do what you need to do. And so their promo code for listening to this podcast, just XBet, X-B-E-T, and they're going to match you 100%. And if you have a friend, if you refer a friend, you get another 100%. Come on, it's a no-brainer here. So this is the place you need to go to. Like I said, it's like having Vegas in your pocket. They got a great mobile site. It can't be any easier. So listen to the Friday podcast that we have going on. Hear the lines and all the teams and what we think. And then throw some money down. Win some money. It'll be easy.
Absolutely. The linebacker position has been one that has caught my eye a ton. We've had a lot of guys stand out. I'm really intrigued by Tigray Scales from Indiana. Watched him move. Think he's a pretty good athlete. I know Saquon Barkley got him bad on that highlight reel catch, but
I might have a serious Saquon Barkley tape.
Oh, yeah. You told me you might have this for Monday. And yeah. Now it's Wednesday and I still haven't heard it. So
yeah.
Are you going to lob it or what?
Look, man. All right. So here we go. I just need to make sure that I know. I just got to make sure. I gotta watch a little bit more tape of him to make sure I have the take. But it might... I might just drop a bomb take on Monday about Saquon Barkley.
Oh, so. You're gonna leave us in suspense. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's fair. That's very fair. We've got a lot of guys that we need to discuss moving forward. I think we hit on a number of players that have needed to be covered. One guy we didn't hit on yet, and I am not going to be able to say his name, but you can't even blame me for this one, dude, because his name is not easy to say. Hercules is his first name, the Washington State defensive player.
I can't remember.
Matafa? I don't know.
No, that's not it.
Matafa.
Yeah, something like Matafa, that.
Matafa, is that it?
I don't have it right in front of me, but he's a beast, dude.
Yeah.
He is good.
I'm not sure how I didn't even know about this guy before the season. I mean, he only had 5 sacks last year, but he already has 4.5 this year. He already has 10 tackles for loss this season.
It's because
they play him inside a lot, right?
Washington State plays that stupid defense where, like, their DNs are 180 pounds. So Hercules is, like, a normal edge right. or outside yeah, 6'2", linebacker, whatever you want.
Yeah.
And they've got the dude playing nose tackle because he's the biggest guy on the defense.
They do, dude. I was watching them against USC. It was insane. They have the smallest defensive line. Like, I was like, how are these guys not getting tore up? But they're fast, man. They're so explosive.
Can you imagine if Penn State played against Washington State?
Oh my goodness.
They just run the A gap every time.
I can. Yeah, that's what, even Ohio State to a degree, you know, and they bulked up their guys a little bit in the offseason, but they had a bunch of 270-pound D linemen, and to play in the Big Ten, that's rough. You know, Pac-12 is a different story, but I'm really intrigued by this guy, by Hercules, but I need to scout him more, and what I'll be looking for when I scout him is, does he have developed pass rush ability, or is it like he's a raw, explosive, physical guy who's going to need like a lot of work to bring himself along in a pass rush sense? Because I'm okay with that. I'm really comfortable with that. I just want to know what I'm getting into here, because I saw a great athlete and an explosive, physical, violent football player was what I saw when I watched the game live, but that was my first and only exposure to him. So I've got a lot of catching up to do on Hercules, a lot of work still to do to be able to scout him fully, but very intrigued so far. I think he's another guy that's caught my eye. So there's others too that we haven't even got to. We talked about Roquan Smith from Georgia. He's one that Georgia's got a freaking good team. Dominic Sanders back there at safety. Aaron Davis, one of the corners. The other corner's name's escaping me. He's a good player too. We already talked about Bellamy and Carter, Trenton Thompson. They're for real, man. They've got tons of talent. That's a loaded team, and they're blowing people away right now. So we got so much to talk about, man. Love it. Love draft season. A lot of new names to continue to get to. I love when players that we didn't talk about over the summer pop out to me on film, and I find out they're draft eligible, and we get to talk about them, like Hercules and Nwosu and Roquan Smith and Bryce Love the last couple days, and that's always the best. So today's episode brought to you by XBet. Make sure you guys check out xbet.ag for all the best in the betting world this weekend, especially for the games, in-game live betting. Sweet stuff. Make sure you take advantage of it. Trev will be back tomorrow, and we'll be talking more prospects, more rookie evaluation in the NFL. We've got all kinds of cool things to talk about, and hopefully we're kicking off a run of guests. Now that the draft season, the college football season, is officially underway, we've got some draft-oriented people leaning into the picture, starting to get their takes out there. We're starting to know who's informed enough to bring them on the show, for them to come on and diss some takes to you guys on some prospects in college football in general. And so we're going to be doing that in the coming weeks as well. So lots of fun stuff coming up. Make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.